James, turn to the book of James with me, James 1, 5 to 8 this morning. Just beginning our time in the book of James. And I'm very encouraged by this study in the book of James. I hope you are as well. I'm looking forward to this good portion of this year being in this book. You'll remember with me that James is an early letter written to Christians who had been scattered and they're under a severe trial or very hard circumstance, very difficult. It's called the dispersion as an event, and it's talking about the scattering of the early church throughout all of Asia Minor. So they had lost so much. James, or Jacob as we saw, which this hopefully will be the last reference to that. Maybe we'll see. But James was their pastor. He was the pastor of the church, and the people had been scattered. Life is different for everyone. I sometimes feel kind of bad about even thinking that I suffer as an American because we have got it pretty easy here. But can you imagine just that? I mean, to me, I connect with where James is coming from this letter, because can you imagine just so many people that you loved, people that came to Christ, people that formed this early church, and then all of a sudden they're just scattered. And, you know, how do you even, you know, where are they? How are they doing? And you hear reports and things. So James is writing them to check up on them and give them some wonderful teaching. As we saw, life is full of trials. Trials are part of life. Difficulties are part of our experience. But you can count it all joy. You can account those difficulties in life as joy. And certainly, we would expect this next section that we're going to look at today is also going to help us as we work through the issue of trials and difficulties in life. You can count it all joy. God uses these trials to grow you. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And one of the things that God does is causes growth. Trials will produce this thing, hopeful endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, if you will. But hopeful endurance, a faith-filled perseverance or endurance. The trials will provide what you lack. It will produce something in you that you need if you let it. So change your perspective, as we said. Let, he uses the word let there. Let steadfastness have its full effect. There is a lot in the human life, not 100% by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a fair amount of things in life that happen to us where you have a legitimate choice from your Creator. This is one of them. You can choose to, under trial, let the trial have its intended effect, let it work, let God work, or you can just buckle down and just say no and fight against God for various reasons. But you have a say in the matter. Change your perspective. Change how you see what is going on. See these difficulties. Remember, count it all joy. That's a change in perspective. You don't naturally wake up and stub your toe on the refrigerator for the 1,000th time drawing blood and say, all right, right? That's just not the natural man. You have to consciously think those things through and work towards counting difficulties with joy. Change the way you see it. See God in your trials. Certainly, we'll come back to this idea today. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. All things. And so you can see God at work, choose to look for God in your circumstances, even the difficult ones. I think it's pretty universal that if you're living by faith, when you receive a blessing, it's really easy to say, for some of us it's not, but usually if you're growing in faith, it's pretty easy to say, wow, look at how God showed up. Wow, look what God did. Look what God provided. This is amazing. I had no idea. This is such a blessing. And if we were honest, we receive a lot of those, amen? We receive a lot of blessings from the Lord, grace that we just don't deserve. But in the middle of our circumstances, we know that all things work together for good. You see, we can have that same response to trials, can't we? God is in it. God is working. He's not off the job. And He's faithful. And the same word is translated in this 1 Corinthians 10 passage, temptation. No temptation is overtaken is not common to man. God is faithful. God is at work. He's faithful. He never sleeps nor slumbers in the Old Testament, we find. He's not off the job. He's not seeking entertainment somewhere and forgetting what he's supposed to do, like our human experience is. He's always there, always working. He's always faithful. So today, then, we're going to look at these next four verses. Looks like we're going to read 8 again. But the first, we're going to look at 5 through 8 and focus on those then today. So let's go ahead and read this whole little chunk, and then we'll focus in on the last part there and look at this issue of faith when life gets difficult. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. That person may not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful book. And so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ had suffered so to receive this letter. But we're thankful now that we get to be recipients of it to help us understand how to deal with the things that they dealt with. You didn't just have them go through that and then have, you know, nothing. You help us as well. It's just really awesome to think through that. We pray that you would give us wisdom as we think through life and difficulties and as we dig into this text. We pray that we would know your will, understand your word well, and that we would be able to, in those moments, count trials all joy, have faith, see you in the difficulties, and not be like the double-minded man that we see in this text. Just pray that you'd help us to understand these things rightly, not go one way or the other or fall to one side or the other of what you're teaching us, but be good doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, faith. It's not hard to understand that you go to church, you're going to hear about faith, right? Faith is a general term used in our world and thrown out there a lot, and people talk about their faith, this faith, that faith. I happened upon testimony of Johnny Cash. You're probably familiar with Johnny Cash, may or may not be. It was very interesting to me as a secular production what they were talking about his faith. And they had a lot of clips of his. And it was really encouraging. I always, you know, you hear a lot of Johnny Cash songs that have Bible references and such in them. Sometimes it's a whole passage that he sings. But he struggled in life. I mean, he's an entertainer, right? You know, so it's not hard to see that that would be over his story. And when he got older, he talked much about his faith. I think his wife was a great encouragement to him. They talked in general terms usually in the production, but he got really specific when he got older. It was really good to hear him. And the show ended with him on Larry King. And I don't know much about old Larry King, but he was just a, you know, secular dude. And, boy, he really went after the artist Cash, like 70 years old. Aren't you mad? Aren't you bitter? You know, you're lying. Look at you. You know, you're dying. You're old and sick. And he was just shocked by that. You could tell he was legitimately shocked. And he said, no, why would I be bitter? Aren't you angry at God? Oh, no. He said, I have had a wonderful life. I have had a full life. And he testified of how God had sustained him and how God had a future for him on Larry King. What a great thing. Faith in that whole story was just used in a general sense. Faith, your faith, the faith. Faith, though, is a central issue of life, isn't it? If we're honest, and of course everyone here understands and thinks about the issue of faith, but if we're honest, every person lives by faith. It is a central issue of life. It means to believe in something you can't see. People may tell you that they don't have faith. Oh, I have science per se, or I have science and you have faith. That idea is out there. That is one of the most illegitimate statements anyone could ever make. Now you would be saying that there is nothing that I have to take on belief in my life. Nothing. I know everything. Right? That's what you're saying. If you're saying you have no faith. Every person has faith. In fact, we don't even know what the next moment is going to be. We have faith that we're going to be here one moment from now. So we live like that. Faith that we're talking about today is faith. Not we are believing something that we don't believe, but our faith is specific. We're believing something specific. We're believing that there is a God, that there is a God, an unseen God, and God, the Spirit invisible, made everything seen. And that this God communicated to us because He wants to be known. And He communicated to us in His Word. That's what we mean when we use the word faith. Be careful when you're talking to people. There's a lot of times people, oh yeah, faith, or oh no, faith. Everyone has faith. We're talking about a specific faith when we're talking about the faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in something you can't see. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's the opposite of sight. If you can see it, if you can hold it, you don't need faith. It's right there, right? Okay, so faith is believing in something you can't see. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For whatever reason, I have my theories. I'm not going to talk about it today. You can probably have your own too. But for whatever reason, God has designed this present age and this present life for people to live by faith in Him, not by sight. Could God come and appear in a big cloud? He's done it before, right? Could He do it? Yes. He hasn't. He has chosen for this, for how we relate to Him now, to be relating to Him by faith. So it's incredibly important for us to get this idea of faith, believing in what's not seen, and to get it right. It is a resolute trust in God. So we believe God is good. We believe God is all-powerful. We believe the things that He has said about Himself in the Bible. We believe He will take care of everything because it's in His character to take care of us. To believe, so that's this resolute trust in God. That's what we're saying. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you believe specific things about the person and work of Jesus Christ. You believe that He came as a real man. You believe that He died on the cross, paid for your sins. You believe that He rose again the third day as He said He would. You believe that He's in heaven right now. He rose to heaven. He's interceding. You believe, and you can't see any of that right now, physical eyes, you see. Specific things. So to be right with God, then, every person is born in a state that is not right with God. We're born in a state where we're alienated from God. To be right with God, then, you have to believe. The Bible uses this word, believe. But, again, words mean something. English is a little loose. Amen? I mean, some word, you can say one word and mean five different things sometimes, right? It's a little loose. When we say we believe in God, we have to have faith in those things that we're talking about. We have to believe what we can't see, what He has said about Himself. There are some passages that help us with this, what the words believe means. I am not ashamed of the gospel as a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We come to God. To be right with God, you have to trust Him through faith. His soul is puffed up. He is not right within Him. The righteous shall live by faith. It's such an important part of life. We'll come back to this. I know I don't want to belabor these points until we get to them. But keep these in your mind. Acts 20:21, testifying to both Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of the apostles, repentance toward God. Now you're going away from God, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of my favorites. It really is connecting to our passage today. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. And people will say, well, there would be more evidence if there was a God. That's a foolish statement. This world is utterly filled with evidence. utterly filled with evidence. Sometimes I feel like in my own life that God shows up so much that I feel like it's not even faith anymore. I mean, he is just all over the human story. But, well, if God showed, if God, there'd be more. No. You see, Jesus Christ came and God in the flesh and spoke, and not everyone believed. Not everyone followed him. In fact, it's impossible to please God right now without faith. So even if God did come and show himself to us, you know, there'd be that sense there where we would be missing out on how God is doing things. So to be right with God, you have to live by, you have to have faith. You have to have this trust. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this law. See, God alone is God. So the future belongs to God, right? Because we need faith. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen? Right? I don't. I have no idea. But by faith, I know that God have his will in my life. And so I just live in that knowledge. Today belongs to God as well, right? So we, you know, as humanly, I think we would just want to control everything and fix everything and know everything. Well, if I just knew, and people will say that to me sometimes in counseling, well, I would do better if God would tell me what the outcome is going to be, right? I would just, it would be fine if I knew something good was going to happen. And I normally will have to say, you already do know. You do know. You know something good is going to happen. I was counseling a lady one time, and she said, I have no idea why God is doing this. If I knew, it would be better. And I said, oh, I've got good news for you. I do know why. And her eyes got huge, you know. They're just better. You know, and you too? Yeah, I do know. I can help you with that. Wow, that's going to change everything. Could you tell me why? And I said, yep, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And we looked at the verse that we just read, and I said, God is doing this to make you more like Christ. She was mad at me. She wanted to hear, and you're going to get a better job, and you're going to find a new husband, and you're going to, you know. We do know that something wonderful is going to happen. We just don't know necessarily what that's going to be, and that's scary, isn't it? Requires faith. Today belongs to God. Tomorrow belongs to God. Your part this morning in this life is to put your trust in your Creator. That's your part. To have faith. To live by faith. To believe what He said about Himself. To believe who He is. To believe that He's got this. To believe that He's got you. To believe that He's got a wonderful plan. To believe that He can carry out His plan. To believe that His plan ends in something great. That's your part. Faith. The Christian life is a life of faith, constantly and ongoing faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we treat the Christian life as if the faith enters in at the beginning. Well, yep, I believed. That's when the faith entered in. And then from then on out, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn, and now I can have it my way. Well, actually, the Christian life is an ongoing daily life of faith, of trusting Christ, and learning, quite honestly, to trust Him more every day. Learning to grow in grace, to grow in faith. So, we come to then where this intersects. Where this intersects with what James is teaching us. If any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, what happens when life gets difficult? What happens is your desires for life and your life, your desires for life and your desires for your life clash with the will of God. Hear that? What happens when life gets difficult? Well, what happens is what you want to happen crushes right up against what God says is going to happen, or what God is allowing or causing to happen. Clash. What happens if any of you lacks wisdom? And things like this will come out. If God is really good, why would I hurt? If God is all powerful, why didn't He stop this? You see, your desires for life and your view of God clash. Faith gets tested in those times, doesn't it? Faith gets tested. Why? Why, God? If what you say about yourself is true, then why this? Why now? And sometimes I think that. Sometimes we're working with people and all of these things are happening to them. Boom, boom, boom. And we're working through it. We're gaining traction. And then all of a sudden, bam! And I'm like, no, not now. No, they're doing so well. Not now. See, my desires clash right up against what God is allowing to happen or God is bringing to pass in someone's life. Happens in my life as well. Not now. I can do this next week, but really? More? Have you ever said that? Really? More? But we have to remember, trials have a purpose. God is working to grow you. One thing He is doing for sure is growing your faith so you can put your trust in Him. If you lack wisdom, He says, pray. Ask God. If you lack wisdom, pray. God loves to hear a prayer for wisdom. And so it might go something like this. I don't know what's going on here, God. I have no idea how to handle or weather this. I need wisdom. Please help me. Please help me understand this. Please help me know what's going on. This is difficult. I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Give me some wisdom. God loves to hear those prayers and loves to answer those prayers. It's interesting in this passage then that we have these two types of prayer. There are two types or two kinds of prayer. One is a prayer of faith. That is the prayer for wisdom. Questions, but asked in faith. That's a good place to pause, isn't it? Questions, but asked in faith. Did you know that you can do that? You can question your circumstance. You can question what's going on. And you can still question those things by faith. You can still believe God is who He is. You can believe that He's doing what He's going to do and it's going to be okay. That He's going to get you through it. That He's going to work you through it. But still have questions. You can. That's normal. Amen. You're a person. You haven't got it figured all out yet. And you should have questions. But you come to God in faith. That is a prayer of faith. And we should have those regularly, I would say. When life gets difficult, oh God, I don't know what's going on. I would love to know. I need you to help me. But then He also tells us about the double-minded prayer in this passage. I wish I had the title for this. I don't. In verse 5, He talks about the double-minded man. The double-minded prayer could take many forms. The double-minded prayer is the sort of why me prayer. Why is this happening to me? Really? Why? What's going on here? This can't happen. The double-minded prayer is an accusatory prayer asking and making unbiblical questions and statements. Well, if God were really good, this wouldn't be happening. If God were actually powerful, He wouldn't let this happen. I guess God isn't powerful. He isn't powerful enough. Oh, God hates me. God hates me. God will not provide what I need. I'm not sure God is real. God helps those who help themselves, right? You see? That's where that mindset comes out of. Well, it's not working out. Well, maybe you're not doing enough or whatever. People often in this double-minded prayer even challenge God. Well, God, if you're real, then make this better. Fix it. Then I'll believe. You see, that's a double-minded prayer. And to double-minded, to be of two separate opinions. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yes, of course I believe. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe that He is God in the flesh. I believe that He's all-powerful and all-good. And then the chips get down. Well, if God was good, you see, double-minded. You're saying two different messages from the same mouth. The double-minded man is a functional atheist. Ouch. The double-minded man speaks and thinks like an atheist speaks and thinks. Well, if there was a God, He would be, let me write you a list, right? Send that baby up to heaven. How much is the postage for that? If you were really God, you would do these things. God is going to be God, whether you think He's like He is, should be or not. All right? That's what the double-minded man acts like and thinks like an atheist because his faith is not genuine. He says he believes, but he doesn't really trust the Lord. And in his mind, he will say things like this. Now let's stop here for a second before I get into this list. All of us are going to have moments where it's difficult for us to trust, okay? All right, hear that this morning. All of us are going to have moments when it's difficult to trust. So I'm not talking about a moment of weakness when you doubt it. We're going to have that. You are going to have that. But in your moments of weakness, faith replaces your doubts. You know what? This is difficult. I don't know why that. I want to think that, but no. All right. This is someone whose manner of life is a double-minded person. It says man in this text, this double-minded person. In your mind, you might say, I guess I'll ask God, but he won't answer my prayers. I guess I'll ask. I'm supposed to. That's what I'm supposed to do, but he won't answer. Well, God never gives me what I want anyway. Why even ask? That's a double-minded person. Why ask God anyway? He let me get in this mess. You ever heard that or thought that? He let me get in this mess. Well, I did it to myself. God doesn't care. He's not going to help me. That doesn't work. God won't answer. God doesn't care. God won't help me. There's all kinds of things like that that the double-minded prayer would be. That doesn't work. I've heard that more times than I care as a pastor. Hey, here's what I'd like us to do. Let's go out and we're going to do these. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to give these tracts out. That doesn't work. Well, yes, it does. But even if it didn't, that's what you're supposed to do. The double-minded person. So we have faith versus doubt then in this passage. Now here, let's break this down. Faith is a resolute trust in God, in his character, in seeing God in your problems and believing that God is at work and God will help you. He cares. He does care. He loves you, in fact. Faith is a resolute trust in God, in his character, seeing God in your problems, believing God is at work, and will care for you. That's faith. That's moment by moment, isn't it? This is difficult. I've lost everything. I'm scattered. But you know what? It's okay. This is God's will for me right now. He's going to get me through it. I have no idea what wonderful thing is over the horizon. But at least I know for sure that even if I died, heaven is right there. I mean, it'll be okay. That's faith. Trusting in God, trusting in his work. Doubt is problem-oriented tunnel vision. Doubt is problem-oriented tunnel vision, where you look down the tunnel and all you see is this big problem and it's taking up your entire field of view. It's always just looming right there. This will never be right. It'll never be better. And God is relegated out here somewhere in the aether and he's just kind of disconnected and distant from you. And the problem is everything. And if we could just get out of this problem, if I could just get off this problem, if I could just stop this trial, if I could just quit this hurt. That's a double-minded person. The only goal becomes to get out of the problem. God is distant. And so you begin to have a pity party and play the woe is me game. That's a double-minded person. Look at the outcome. Backwards. Look at the outcome of a double-minded man. Let him ask in faith and no doubting. One who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Wow. A wave of the sea. Jacob and I are trying to go fishing this week. We didn't get to do it because of the wind. And we're probably glad. I've been out on the sea. We've been down in Mobile, right by Mobile Bay. And one of our friends, Captain Jimmy. You have to have a Y on the end of your name if you live in the South. And Captain Jimmy, great guy. Really fun guy too. And that poor man drove this little tiny 20-foot boat in about 5-6-foot seas across Mobile Bay just to take us fishing. That is rough. You're tossed. You're thrown. There's no stability. You're kind of out of control. You think you're going to be over here? No, you're over there. The wind's going to tell you where you're going to go. That's what it means to be. That's the outcome of the double-minded person. Your life is just chaos. You're tossed around. You're thrown around wherever the sea and the wind are going to throw you. The double-minded person. Chaotic. Notice 7. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Ouch. That's the outcome of the double-minded person. You don't receive, the text says, anything from the Lord. Well, I suppose I better ask God. He's not going to answer my prayer anyway, but I'm going to do it. Well, why would you think he's going to answer that prayer? He's not going to help you in this situation. You don't want him to. You're stuck in this pity party mentality and you're whining about it instead of having faith. God is not going to answer that double-minded prayer. Unstable. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You know, it's, there's no stability. There's no root. There's no rock. You're just thrown around, tossed around. Hear this. I imagine that you've had times in your life when it felt like that. It was just crazy. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what's going on. And you're tossed around and you're waiting for the next shoe to fall. That is the outcome of the double-minded person, the person that does not live by faith. So there are these two responses then. The first is the heart of faith in trial. When things get hard, the heart of faith runs to God, sees God in everything, trusts God's good purpose, prays for help and wisdom, and ultimately says, "Your will be done. Your will be done." The heart of faith is stable and grows through the trial. And so we would illustrate the heart of faith by being right over here. This is the heart of faith. And you've got this hardship coming in. You got your family is scattered, you've lost your business, you've lost your extended family, no one will talk to you anymore. There are people who literally want to kill you now just because you say you believe in Jesus. You have to leave your home, you're thrown out there in Asia Minor, all over who knows where, to foreign cities. People who think of you as kind of a dog of humans, right? The Jews were kind of lesser people. You're scattered all over. But the heart of faith says, God has a good purpose in this, and it's going to build steadfastness. It's going to build hopeful endurance. And in fact, at the end of this difficult year, I am trusting that my knowledge and faith of this God will be much better, much richer. I'll be ready for the next thing, in fact, that God has for me. That's the heart of faith, this resolute trust of growing steadfastness, growing hopeful endurance, and saying, whatever you have for me, God, your will be done. The double-minded person then would be over here. The double-minded person runs from God. Trials will do that to you. They'll make you run to God or they'll make you run from God every time. The double-minded person doesn't really trust God, says one thing, believes another, doubts. Their faith falls apart and then their life falls apart and then they drift. They drift from the faith. They may have came and had been so zealous and so excited and something difficult comes into their life and then they fall away and you don't see them. And you go and you find them and you try, you know, to talk to them and they don't want to hear it sometimes. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they realize it. Sometimes they don't want to hear it because double-mindedness is their plague. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach and it will be given to him. I can only tell you experientially, and it's not really even my experience, but it's mostly the experience that I've had with other people, what the life of faith versus the life of doubt looks like. And encourage us all this morning to let these difficulties grow us. Because I have experienced in real time, many more times than I can number, it seems humanly, if I just use just my human mind, my human glasses, and I'm not thinking spiritually, and I think, well, someone's coming to me with this all of these problems, and they got this giant truckload. Sometimes it takes like months to unpack them. There's so many. And then I say to them, you know what your number one issue? We work towards this, but I'd say to them, you know what your number one issue is? What? You need to learn to trust God. Boom! No, right? You see? I had a man once who was coming for premarital counseling, and I told him, your biggest issue is your issue with God. You're separated from God. You're never going to love your wife. Well, he was mad. That has nothing to do with marriage. God does. Our issue, and I have seen these lives of utter chaos where none of their circumstances changed. None. Yet the person learned to trust in what they could not see. And to trust specific things about God, their creator. To see all of a sudden a life of joy. Their circumstances hadn't changed. All of a sudden, chaos is turned into stability. All of a sudden, crazy, mind all over the place, driven and tossed by the waves, is turned into a person that's hopeful and faithful. What happened? I can't change circumstances, right? What happened was just their faith. They believed. They trusted God. God began to answer those prayers. Yes, let's work on this. Let's fix this. It seems almost counterintuitive from a human perspective. We think that if we would just get the trial out of the way, life is good. Couldn't be further from the truth. Couldn't be further from the truth. But God is using the trials, and He wants us to live by faith. When times get hard, live by faith. Trust God. See, your faith is about His character. The more you know who God is, the more you know how much He loves you, the more you know how powerful He is, the more you know that the Creator of the universe has all the resources He needs to be good in your life, to have good in your life, the more that you can rest, the more that you can have a stable life, the more that you can have a resolute trust in God that grows and grows and grows. And don't miss this. Oh, don't waste your trials. Don't waste them. When you have a difficulty in your life and someone else has it all good, by the way, no one does, but someone else has it all good and it's all rosy, you actually have more of an opportunity to please God than they do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So see your trials that way. Praise God, I've got another opportunity to be pleasing to God today. Something that I wouldn't have had without this difficulty. Don't waste it. Embrace the opportunity. Count it all joy when you fall into trials of various kind. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You again for this text. And we know and would confess that all of us have times of doubt. Some of us bordering on double-mindedness. Some of us just diving into double-mindedness at times or for a season. I pray, Lord, that You would work in us and help us in our weakness to know and understand You, to see the difficulties and trials in our life differently, to draw near to You instead of running away. To let You be God in our life, to grow us, to change us, to help us, Lord. And that we would let this work of Yours have its intended result as we go through difficulties. We know we will. Sometimes life is good and easy in our perspective. Sometimes life is very difficult. And so we pray You'd help us as we to weather these things and to grow, and that You would be greatly pleased and we would know You more at the end of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.